Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to do something really practical and very musical in Ableton Live 12. We're going to take a breakbeat idea in Session View and pull it into Arrangement View so it becomes the beginning of a real drum and bass section, not just a loop sitting there looking cool. This is the difference between sketching and finishing. Session View is your live edit desk. Arrangement View is where you commit the story. And indeed, NB, that story has to move. The break has to evolve. The bass has to answer it. And the energy has to rise, release, and switch up without losing the punch. So the goal here is not just to drag clips across. We're going to perform the arrangement. That means launching scenes, muting and unmuting elements, triggering fills, opening filters, and capturing all of that motion into the timeline. That's how you get a section that feels authored, not copied and pasted. Start by building a small session view template with just the essentials. You want a breakbeat track, a support drum track, a bass track, and one effects or atmosphere track. If you want, add a top loop or percussion lane too, but keep the session tight. The fewer distractions you have, the faster you can make arrangement decisions. On the break track, load your main break loop. A one bar or two bar loop is enough to start. If it's a classic Amen style break, slice it or warp it so the hits sit on the grid without killing the swing. This part matters. In drum and bass, the groove has to feel locked, but not robotic. A good starting chain on the break is simple. Use warp if needed, then EQ8 to clean up low mud, then drum bus for weight and snap. If the break feels too polite, a little drive and a little transience in drum bus can wake it right up. Keep the sub rumble under control with a low cut if needed, somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz, depending on the source. You're shaping movement here, not just making it louder. Now, don't treat the break like a static loop. Treat it like a performance instrument. Make a few versions of it in Session View. One full version. One version with the low end trimmed and the top exposed. One fill version with extra snares or reverse tails. One minimal version with just ghost notes and motion. That gives you options when you start performing the arrangement. If you're using simpler in slice mode, this is a great moment to play the break like an instrument. Slice it at transients, map it into a drum rack, and record a few different patterns. An advanced move is to let the pattern change every 4 bars. Maybe bars 1 to 4 are full groove, bars 5 to 8 pull back a little, bars 9 to 12 bring a fill logic, and bars 13 to 16 bring the phrase home with a turnaround. That kind of subtle evolution is what keeps a D&B section alive. Next, layer in support drums. This is especially important if your break is old, thin, or heavily chopped. The support kick and snare should reinforce the break, not fight it. Think of them as weight and authority underneath the movement of the original break. A nice stock chain for the support drums is EQ8, drum bus, and then a bit of saturator for warmth. Don't overdo it. On the kick, keep the fundamental around 50 to 60 Hz if that works for your source. Keep the decay short, and keep it centered. On the snare, aim for body around 180 to 220 Hz and crack somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. A little reverb send is fine, but don't let it blur the hit. This is a big D&B mindset shift. The bass and drums are partners. If the break already has a strong snare, your support snare should add authority, not just duplicate the exact same transient. That's how you keep the mix big instead of crowded. Now bring in the bass. This is where a lot of loops fall apart, because the bass is either too busy or it's stepping on every drum pocket. In dark drum and bass, the bass should answer the break. It should leave room for ghost notes, snare accents, and the little syncopations that make the groove feel human. You can use Wave Eatable or Operator as your core sound, then shape it with saturator, auto filter, utility, and maybe some redux if you want grit. Keep the sub clean and centered. Use utility to keep the low end mono. If you've got a layered bass setup, this is where discipline matters. Let the sub do the boring job. Let the mid bass do the expressive work. A strong move here is call and response. Let the bass hit after the snare in one bar, then leave a pocket in the next bar for the break to breathe, then use a short fill or glide at the end of the phrase. When drums and bass are phrased like that, it feels like they're talking to each other instead of competing. Now we get to the fun part. Record a live arrangement pass from session view into arrangement view. Arm arrangement record, then launch your scenes and perform the changes in real time. Don't just drag everything over and call it done. Actually play the session. You might set up scenes like this. An intro scene with atmosphere and a filtered break. A T scene with minimal bass. A full drop scene with the break and bass together. A varination scene with a fill, and then a transition or reset scene. Rehearse the launches once or twice before recording, so your hand moves feel confident. A good sequence might be mute bass, trigger fill, a mute bass, open filter, launch the next scene. That sequencing is what makes the pull feel musical instead of mechanical. Think in phrase lengths, 8 bars, 16 bars, 32 bars. If you're building a 174 BPM roller, for example, you might start with a restrained 8-bar intro, then bring in a filtered break for 16 bars, then let the drop open fully on bar 17. That little delay before the full impact can make the drop hit so much harder. Once you've captured the performance, jump into arrangement view and start refining. This is where you tighten the transitions and make the structure really speak. Maybe you remove the bass for 1 or 2 bars before the drop. Maybe you add a reverse cymbal, a noise swell, or a snare fill. Maybe you mute the break's low layer for a bar so the impact lands cleaner. This is also where automation comes alive. Automate the break or bass filter cutoff. Automate the reverb send on a snare fill. Dip the utility gain right before a drop. Throw a short echo on the last hit of a phrase. These are small moves, but in drum and bass they make a huge difference. The track feels designed, and here's an important teacher note. Don't be afraid of negative space. A lot of producers try to fill every bar with something, but DNB gets bigger when it breathes. A 1-bar gap, a short stop time moment, or a bass dropout before the next phrase can feel heavier than stacking another layer. If you have a really good fill or transition moment from the performance, print it. Resample it. Route your drum bus or set up an audio track to record the moment. Then consolidate that audio and place it directly in the arrangement. This is a pro move because it lets you commit to the most exciting version of the idea. Sometimes the best arrangement choice is the one that happened once and deserves to live in the timeline. After that, do your bus checks. Make sure the drum bus and bass bus still work together. A subtle glue compressor on the drum bus can help glue the movement together, maybe just 1 or 2 dB of reduction. On the bass, keep the sub clean and check mono compatibility. If the snare disappears when the bass comes in, you've got overlap. If the break loses its identity once the arrangement gets dense, simplify. This is where the difference between a loop and a track really shows up. A loop can sound amazing by itself. A track has to survive arrangement. It has to survive context. So always listen for whether the section still makes sense when the pieces stack up. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't drag loops into arrangement without performing any variation first. Don't over-quantize the break until it sounds like a machine. Don't let the bass talk over every gap in the drums. Don't make the intro too busy. And definitely don't ignore the transition bars, because bars 8, 16, and 32 are often where a DNB section either feels premium or feels rushed. For heavier or darker DNB, a few extra tricks are worth keeping in your pocket. Parallel saturation on drums can keep the core punchy, while adding dirt underneath. A subtle auto filter or frequency shifter on atmospheres can create an ease without making the mix seasick. Tiny modulation on wavy-able position or filter cutoff feels more serious than giant obvious sweeps. And if the break feels too soft, don't be afraid to print it through drum bus or saturator and then chop it again. For your practice, try this. Create a 4-track session view template with break, support drums, bass, and FX. Load a 2-bar break and make one alternate version with a fill. Build a bass pattern that leaves at least 1 bar of space every 4 bars. Add one automation move, like filter or send. Then record a 16-bar performance into arrangement view, and refine the last 4 bars so they lead cleanly into a second phrase. If you want to push it further, take the same idea and build a 32-bar excerpt. Include one intentional dropout, 1 1-bar fill, 1 automation pass, and 1 printed resampled moment. The challenge is to make 1 section feel minimal, 1 feel full, and 1 feel like a switch up, not just a louder repeat. So the big takeaway is this. Session view is your sandbox, arrangement view is your story. In drum and bass, the breakbeat must evolve with the bass, not sit under it. Perform your scenes, capture the energy, then refine the phrase logic until the section feels like it belongs in a real track. That's the move. Build it, perform it, print it, and then shape it into something with tension, variation, and real low-end discipline.